Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Hey, hour two in the zone on a terrific Tuesday. We're bearing down on the 4th of July, and that is our question of the day today. The question is this. Do you think we should get more than one day off for the 4th of July? I am of the opinion that absolutely we should. It is the birth of our nation. It should be celebrated at length. Maybe not for a full week, although there are a lot of people that feel that should be the case. Oh, look at us. All right. Eli Craner joining us in studio today. Look at this handsome devil.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
All good, man.
Is today the big day or was yesterday the big day?
Today is the day.
Okay,
so books always come out on Tuesday. It's a weird thing that I didn't know. But
so do tacos.
Yeah, Taco Tuesday and novels. But yeah, today's the day.
DJ said he saw something yesterday.
I saw something of you signing.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Secret stuff. No, they do. No, it's not secret. But they do these. So like my hometown in Russellville, the Old Bank hosted this big thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Old Bank.
And that was Sunday. And then yesterday I was up at Fort Smith. So for local bookstores, they'll do where they're allowed to sell them early, early dispensation. But today's the day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The book is Broiler. It is the third offering from Eli Craner. Why are you looking at me weird?
You got a weird thing going on with your hair right now.
Okay.
Like alfalfa.
Oh, with the headphones.
Yeah. It's poking up.
Yeah.
I don't like that. There we go.
Thank you.
It's bothering me.
Okay.
Wait, Kim, before we talk about that, I learned a lot about this dude.
Can you fix that?
Quarterback?
Yes.
TJ was sitting here.
I was like, wait, what?
God, what planet are you on? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, we talked about
this 100 times with him already.
No. We talked about pickup basketball, and that is it.
Yeah. He didn't know.
What planet?
We graduated high school one year
apart. Dude. I'm like, wait, what?
You are out to lunch.
Holding it down. Did you say Clark?
I'm worried about your brain.
Russellville. Cyclone out there? Who would I have? Anybody?
I'm dumbfounded right now.
Any younger?
Nathan Brown was. He was the quarterback ahead of me. At
How about
UCLA.
That? Yeah. Who? Do you have any younger guys a year below you? That
I don't think so, man. Yeah. That like went on and played. Not that I can remember.
I mean, Hawker would have been.
DJ, I'd love to do this old home week thing with you, but we got a lot of stuff to get to.
Man, I learned something new,
dude. I don't know how we talked about him playing quarterback in college 10 times.
No.
Where you been?
Every time, well, I'm glad he's here, but we're usually up against it. You
it's
know?
Usually,
so,
yeah. Tell me a book that y'all haven't read.
We are usually up against it. You get a full hour today. Yeah.
Speaking of books you haven't read, yes, DJ, yes. Broiler.
I know. I got it held hostage at my house right now. Justin's trying to get it from me.
I actually am trying to read 3 books while I'm on vacation. I'm normally not a big reader on vacation, but I'm in a very peaceful place, and I'm going to sit under the umbrella and read a lot. So I'm going to finish Jason Peterson's book. I got about, I don't know, maybe 30 pages left of that. I'm going to read this. This guy, he wrote a book about the SEC. He's going to come on when I get back.
When you read Peterson's book, do you stop and do the QR codes
Not
as
every
you
one,
read?
But some of them, yeah. And I'll go back and look through some of them.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Colby Newton who's written a book about the SEC. It is SEC football, how a regional league became a national obsession. I just got my copy, and I'm looking forward to reading it. We're going to have him on soon. And then I want to read Broiler while I'm down there, too. So yeah. I'm going to bang it out.
Got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I knock out a couple. I think one book every day or two I can knock it out. No problem. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just sitting on the beach picking my nose. I got nothing else to do. A little boogie board, a little read time, whatever.
So, watching for sharks.
Why do I feel like reading a book should take longer than a day? Is that normal?
I mean, I don't normally have 8 hours to do nothing.
Oh, okay.
But I will have 8 hours to do nothing all week for like 5 days. So yeah.
You're built different.
I don't know what that means. In what way?
You just are. Like I said, we were talking about his health journey, and like he likes to read. I've never seen anyone who decides to do something and it's just unwavering, you know?
All
so
in.
We talked about 75 hard. I've heard of that little challenge before. I think Justin would knock that out of the park. No question.
There's two kinds of people in this world. There's people who say, I'm going to try to do some stuff, or it's people who say, I'm going to do this thing.
Mm.
So if you're really into it, like, you just do it.
You find a diet that is somewhat healthy, 75 days, right? No alcohol.
For 75 days?
Uh-huh. You have to drink a gallon
you're
of water.
You're in or you're out, man.
Drink
some people say.
Drink a gallon of water a day.
Okay.
You have to read at least 10 pages of a book a day.
That's easy.
And you have to work out twice a day, one inside, one outside. They have to be at least 45 minutes.
Oh, my. Wow. That is committed, son.
Yeah. I bet you could do that.
I will tell you this. When you spend your time, I have been doing kind of like two activities a day. So it's like maybe in the morning I work out, maybe in the afternoon I play golf.
That's what it would be. It'd
yesterday
have to
I played the morning and then in the afternoon, or worked out the morning and the afternoon I played pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
work.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
But you do find yourself putting your energy towards things that are a lot more productive than hanging out and drinking.
So, out of all the things I said, the alcohol sound like the hardest part.
That's a long time to not even have, like, a we can't even, like, toast a no. Like, I couldn't toast to my son at a champagne brunch for his engagement.
Yeah, that'd have been tough.
It'd be hard.
Yeah, I get
but,
it.
Yeah, if I committed to it, I could do it.
I bet you could.
75 or 7.5
75
days?
Hard.
Maybe I'll start seven and a half hard.
Yeah, so what people have been doing, they've been saying, can we do 75 soft? And then they incorporate alcohol here or there.
I'd
saying,
like
what's
to
the
do,
point?
I think what I'd rather do is a 30-day completely clean. Let's see what happens in a month.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm telling you, I feel better after 2 weeks.
All right. Pickleball, Justin? You big on this pickleball?
It's just strictly for, like, I'm not trying to get great at pickleball, but it's a great way to sweat party. Outside in the summertime.
Yeah, yeah. My mother-in-law, she is so
in. We're roughly the same age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're in on pickleball. She's eat up with it. Yeah. I mean, it's like every day.
It's so fun, and it's such a great way to exercise if you're not, like, into the gym thing or you're not a runner. It's just a good way to move around. And I know tennis people look down on it, but it's not everybody can play tennis.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to have, there's a different kind of skill set. Just, it's very approachable. I like pickleball because it's approachable and it's welcoming. And now people who are elite at it are really, really good. And it's a whole nother game.
Is it got like ping pong? Like, is that what it feels like hitting the ball? Or is
it's more like tennis than it is ping pong, I think.
Okay.
It's closer to tennis than ping pong.
It's good in between.
It is.
But yeah, it's. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's its own thing, but I think you'd enjoy it. It's a good time, and it is very addictive. Like, the first time I played, I was like, I love this.
Yeah.
So, because it is easy. Like, it's, you can hit the ball over the net.
You can pick it up. Yeah.
I mean, especially a guy who's an athlete like you
are. I would
like
almost say it's easier than ping pong.
I concur.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would say it's easier than ping pong.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. Let me hit a couple things here hog-wise, and then we'll get to the book and whatever else you guys want to get into.
The Red White Report is brought to you by Southern Structural Solutions. If you need foundation repair or crawl space services, call Southern Structural Solutions at 501-581-9648 for a free quote.
All right, well, you know that there are going to be some track and field athletes from the University of Arkansas at the Olympics. And now we add a golfer. Nicholas Echevarria will represent Colombia at the 24 Games. We told you earlier he'll be joined by Camilo Villegas. Did you look up Spider-Man's moves?
No, I couldn't.
I want to come over there and show you how he does it.
Oh, you just want to show
me? I'll
come
over here. I'll show you.
You're going to.
This is him reading the greens.
Yeah, let me see this thing. There we go. For those of y'all, I'll try to be a visual audio description. He's in there.
Aim the camera at him.
Get the white shoes.
How do you do? I missed him. He's down.
That's how he reads the greens.
He's in there. You just use one knee to kind of steady yourself?
You don't get down on the ground because you don't want to, like, mess up your pants. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
You look hot. Like, not like, you know,
thanks,
heated.
Buddy.
Hot yoga.
You good?
Stress my neck there. Seeing stars. I'm not good at that, and he's not either, obviously, because he hasn't really done anything on the tour in a long time. But he's just a young, nimble fella. So that'll be fun for him. Good experience for him. I reached out to try to see if we could get this gymnastics incoming freshman on the show. But we'll have to find a different path because Jocelyn Roberson apparently not being handled as far as PR goes by the university right now. Maybe we can reach out to her club, Christian. It's on the press release. I'm going to give this to you. Maybe we can reach out to World Champion Center, see if we can get a hold of her that way. But she's been named as an alternate to the Olympic team, so congrats to her. And I think we are going to get Coach Weber on, though, to talk about the addition to the team. And she's obviously got some pretty good experience at the Olympics. Don't know if you heard. And so we'll talk to her about kind of what the expectations are, what's special about this team, obviously why Simone Biles is such a superstar among stars. And so we need to get her on anyway. That would be a good move for us. And then last thing, Zach Root, cool name, left-hander from East Carolina, one of the top transfer pitchers in the nation. Maybe as good as any, if you ask certain people. 6-2 last year, 3.56 ERA, pitched over 68 innings. And the number four available player in the transfer portal and the number one pitcher, according to On3. And Baseball America has him as the number 10 available transfer overall. So, big addition for Arkansas. And East Carolina is a pretty good addition. And then there was a kid from Rhode Island they got. My buddy's like, why are they getting this kid that batted 250 at Rhode Island last year? I'm like, I don't know. But he hit like 12 home runs. But obviously they think he can play. I think he's a first baseman.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Need a big bet. I'm watching this dude on YouTube.
What dude? Villegas? Yeah, he's something.
That's what he's under as is the PGA's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Is that necessary?
No, I've never seen anybody else read greens like that. Jack Nicklaus didn't do it. Arnold Palmer didn't do it. Tiger Woods didn't do it. It's not necessary.
Just Matt, would they be that much better if they did?
No. Well, here's the deal. They have Hall of Fame careers. He has a decent run for about 3 years.
Yeah.
But he's going to the Olympics, so good for him.
This dude is down there.
Yeah. It's amazing. I don't know what you're looking for down there. Like, all I can get
that
is like
wild.
All I can get is like plant life and maybe some bugs. I can't read a green from
you had your knee holding you up. His knee's not on the ground.
Well, he's a better athlete than I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Eli, I'm glad you could come down and hang out with us today. I'm sure you met Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob had to pay to be here. I mean,
that's right.
You get to come for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the book, and then you brought your guitar for a specific reason, so I want you to get that out when you're ready to roll. We are going to play the Shannon Sharp clip after the break, so I want to spend the next 20 minutes or so talking to you about the book, and maybe you can tell DJL about your college football career and your trip to the World Football League and those kinds of things, because he is not familiar. But
it's awesome.
Anyway, what's the book about for those who are uninitiated? I know we've talked about it on the show some, but it's exciting. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. Broiler. So if you're from Arkansas, you probably can tell it's got a chicken feather on the front and broiler. So it's set around the chicken processing industry, which is, I walked in and here's the
Arkansas big, Money and Politics got a big rooster on front.
Yeah, I've been talking about. So I don't know, man. This story, it came from... if you flip it open, and always when I open a book, I always look like at the dedications first. You know, I always look at the epigraphs. And so this book is dedicated for mom and every other mom out there. And then for my first block students who couldn't stay awake, and now I know why. Mm. And so for me, that's where this book, I mean, okay, so you write your first book. My first book was about high school football. It was about my time coaching, all that stuff. And then you have to write another one, and you have to write another one. Yeah. And I'm an Arkansas dude through and through, and I always, that's kind of my thing, is I always try to look at, like, okay, what's an Arkansas-type book? What's a book that is, and so, I don't know, it happened with those students. What happened was I was in an ALE school, so that's alternative learning, which if you ask the kids, they would have said that's where the bad kids go, which wasn't really true. They were there for a bunch of different reasons. And anyway, I walk in on my first day, and there's this table of students who, like, walk in, put their heads down, go to sleep. Mm. And I could not get them to wake up. Like, I would knock on the table. I would play guitar. I would do all these things. And so finally, when they did start waking up, they sleep till about lunch. I started asking them, like, what's up? What are y'all doing? And they were working night shifts at a plant, like 10-hour night shifts. And then they would come get off. I know, and I'm thinking about me, you know, like I'm thinking about, man, like if they get off at 6:30 and they get dressed, they get showered, they get to school.
They get off at 6:30 in the morning?
Well, it would depend on when the trucks got done. Like, so it depended on how big of a shipment, you know, came in. And so they would get done and they'd get to school. And so I was writing books at the time. I didn't have any books published. This was after I'd got done coaching and I was focusing on trying to write. And so I was curious. I thought, ooh, this is a story. You know, like there's a book here. And so that's where this book started for me. And so as they started talking, they were giving me all these details about what this looks like working on in their positions. And it was kind of like so big and so beyond me that I was like, man, I can't write this book. So it took me a long time. Like I wrote Don't Know Tough, I wrote Ozark Dogs, and then this one was still always just kind of percolating. But the story is actually the novel, it's broken into four narrators. Two of them, one is the plant manager and his wife, and then the other are a younger couple that's working on the line. And so that's it. The book, it's kind of like a ransom story. I don't want to say too much without giving it away. But yeah, it's kind of like a ransom story and how they end up, those four people's lives get going all in there. I do like to share this one thing. Daniel Woodrell is one of my favorite authors. Daniel Woodrell wrote Winter's Bone, which was the Jennifer Lawrence, like back when she was first.
That was her first big launching pad.
Yeah, man. And Daniel Woodrell's a Missouri dude. And he's just way up there. And he read this and was offered some kind words. And he wrote here, he said, I don't have a proper term for what Eli does with words in this novel. It's calm but knowing prose, nearly Steinbeckian concern for his characters, their woes and petty victories, dreams and crappy jobs. There's a conflict, tension, and sorrow, but it is Craner's people who stick. So that meant a lot because I'm trying to nail, you know, the Arkansas people. when
the way you describe it, this sounds like something that could be a stage, like a play.
Yeah, that's been a new thing lately. I've just recently acquired like representation in the film world.
Ooh.
So that means you got somebody out there working for you. And so, yeah, this one, I never know how you always want to say all this cool stuff, you know, that's percolating, but it doesn't ever mean that it's always going to happen. So there is because this one does kind of have that.
When did you finish it? When did you write the last word?
Man, so there is a child in this book as well. The plant manager and his wife have a 6-month-old son. And I started to write this book because that's the other part of this book is it really deals with like new parenthood. And there was something about that juncture in our life, like as we were making that transition, you know, that I don't know. It tied into like the chicken processing line or something in my mind because of all the life, you know, there's so much life like happening there, like new lives, like baby chickens, like all these things. I don't know. It was weird. So my son was 6 months old. He's 4 now. So that was when I started writing it. And then it's just been, I don't know. I had all these books like when the first one got published that it's been kind of nice. I've just been able to kind of pull them out of the file and sharpen them up.
How long by the time from you handing it in, how many, I know I'm probably different between the three books, right? The amount of back and forth with revisions and things like that. But
absolutely.
Like, is there a typical sort of space of time?
Yeah. I mean, so like right now I'm working on cleaning up the book that'll be in August of 2025. And some of them are shorter. This for Broiler, I would say it almost took 4 or 5 months of back and forth,
wow.
About 6 different revisions. And the reason is because, you know, like Don't Know Tough was high school football, knew that world intimately well, played it, lived it, did it all. Ozark Dogs was more of just like a guns out, you know, Hatfield and McCoy kind of thriller.
Mm-hmm.
This book was a challenge. It was a challenge because I was writing about the chicken processing line, about people who work that line. I was writing about, really, I said parenthood, but it's really even more about motherhood. It's more about because it focuses on the plant manager's wife and how this new child, her first child, is changing her. And so it was an extreme challenge to try and imagine both of those worlds. And I don't know. You know, I like that. I like trying to stretch, like not do the same thing with every book. So I did my best to kind of meet that challenge with love.
Did you have to sort of fact check? Because like, okay, that's not actually how that works in this industry.
Yeah. And I'll be the first to say that I'm not an expert. You know, like, and what my hope is that I have written a compelling enough story. Like when you are a writer, when you're looking for that one fact, you know, to like get the story moving or to get it going. So I'm not an expert, but I hope the story is compelling enough that if people read it and they think, like they get curious, well, then there are experts out there. Like, go find the experts.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
When you mentioned motherhood, it was interesting. It made me think of As Good As It Gets, and Jack Nicholson's a writer in the movie. And there's a woman that says, how do you write women so well? And he said, I just write it like a man, and then I take away logic and reason. So did you find it hard to write from a motherhood perspective?
I did. I did. I always do. I've been very lucky for women characters, even back to Don't Know Tough, like the coach's wife in that book, her name's Marley. Joanna is one of the leading women characters in Ozark Dogs. And now in this one, you'll have Mimi Jackson, who's the plant manager's wife, and then Gabriella Menchaca, who is one of the line workers. It's been one of the things that people always say. And I think it's because I stay so focused on it. Like, I don't want to mess that part up.
Right.
My editor is a lady by the name of Juliette Grahams, and she really helps me. She'll literally highlight portions in, like, the early drafts, and she'll say, like, you sound like a dude. Like this sounds like a dude, you
That's
know?
Fair.
Like, she knows, yeah.
I like that. Let's hit a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more with Eli about Broiler. And then I got to share the Shannon Sharp thing with you because I think it's funny and I think a lot of people will be able to relate. Maybe not in the exact way that it went down. Certainly not with the potential violence that he almost faced.
Lord.
That's scary stuff, dude.
Shannon Sharp, he's out of pocket sometimes.
You wouldn't talk
That's
about
what
a guy.
They would say.
But he's also, as you like to say, built different.
He is built different.
Because I don't think there was no mention of him crapping his pants, and I certainly would have if I was in the situation he was in. I might have crapped your pants. That's how scared I would have been.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's freaky. So, anyway.
Yeah. Now, before we get going, also to Eli, Miss Donna, she'll be there tonight to listen. Where's that going to be?
Yeah, we're at Wordsworth Books.
Okay.
At 6:30.
Yeah, she read your other two books. Excellent author. Used to teach with your mom in Forest City.
Forest City.
Yeah.
Thanks, Miss Donna.
Welcome back. We got dudes in the studio. Jacob Garrett's here, our Empty Bowls winner, hanging out. Eli Craner, award-winning author, who's got a new book, Broiler. You mentioned Wordsworth Books, which is where?
Wordsworth Books is over there by, it's in the Heights? Man, I don't know.
I'll get you an address.
It's over there, yeah.
But you're going to be over there at what time today?
6:30 p.m.
And how long will you be there?
It'll be about an hour.
Till they're all signed.
Yeah, till they're all signed.
Are you going to have a Q&A about the book?
Yeah, Graham Gordy, so local screenwriter. And
why don't you just say so?
Yeah.
So that's big time. How'd you retain his services?
Well, he's a Wampus Cat, and I'm a Cyclone, so we go way back.
Are you supposed to hate each other?
Yeah, that's right.
It's next to the Baja Grill over there by Boulevard Bread Company off University.
5920 R Street, if you want to go by tonight. And honestly, Graham's worth the price of admission himself, not to mention the author himself. Actually, off the Eli himself.
Yeah.
That'd be great. What a great deal.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I assume he's read the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least looked at the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. He's looked at the pictures.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Is it nervous? You're nervous at all when you do these?
Yeah. This year it's been a little better. But I've really been been in the lab, man, with trying to get this last this book. So I've been nose down. So I was really for about the whole month of June trying to get the next one sent off before all this started. Mm-hmm. So I was really kind of just ready to get out. get out of the bunker, man, and go see the world.
Well, if you need any help on your next one, I'm happy to help.
Yeah, yeah. That's the college football one.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Mississippi Blue 42.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a play
and
call.
And it's August next year?
August 2025.
Okay. Yeah, I went in on a Q&A for that.
Mm-hmm.
This says, we got some D3 Auto Sales text line offerings. I asked my wife if the dishes were done. She replied Clay Thompson, so I knew they were washed.
That's dang.
That's terrible, Jake.
He's not washed yet, is he?
He averaged 18 a game in a bad year.
Yeah. He was pretty bad this year.
He'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine, though.
Are we just comparing him to the Clay, Splash Brother Clay?
Yeah. He's also not that good at defense anymore.
Mm. We were corrected on the Bologna football coach, Clint Ashcraft. Thank you.
Clint Ashcraft, yeah.
Would you rather have 2 days for the fourth or the day after the Super Bowl? Now, that's a question.
Oof. It depends on when the fourth is.
Can I just say, how about both? What are we doing?
Pick one, Justin.
We already don't take enough days off as Americans. We should take a couple extra.
Who is this we? You know,
people in America.
Okay. Okay.
I told you the story last week.
Yeah.
The average American gets 12 days a year off and they don't use them all. It's ridiculous. Yeah. What are we working for if we're not going to utilize our time off?
I'm one of those people.
You are insane.
I never go through my vacation days.
But you're happy to. I don't use all of mine. I know that may be hard for you guys to believe, but it's true.
Yeah.
Maybe we also need to ask if it's paid or not paid, because,
that's a big difference.
We're all doing paid.
Yeah. PTO. Yeah. It's all paid.
We're not rich, but we do like to be away from work. I have a buddy that broke his back in a golf tournament at Elotion and lost his scholarship to Arkansas. That's a story I need more details on. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. If you're going to send D3 Auto Sales text line offerings, I need to do a better job of checking those during his segment. I'm so sorry that I didn't see these. Please hit us up next time he's on in 2 weeks. Justin, I'm a roofer, and I have been for 8 years. I can confirm those bullets do come back down. If you ask any roofer who's done it for very long, they can tell you stories where they've actually found bullet holes in roofs, especially cities like Little Rock. I think it's safe to say if it'll put a hole in a roof, probably put a hole in you. DJ, did you ever find your water regular?
Actually, I got my guy. Should be over there right now looking for it. I, however, was not able to find it.
Talking about having next at a basketball game, did you hear his story? He was talking about how there were people on the side that were waiting for next in a pickup game, and then he's like, "Nah, you're scrubs. You can't play."
Oh, you just told him not, DJ?
I said, it depended on where you're playing. If there's a good 5-5 running, they'll say, young blood, sit down real quick.
Even if it's you win and the game's
are we talking about
lost and the losers are like, no.
Losers
no,
is like, no, we're back up.
Are we talking about children waiting?
Is this
or grown men waiting?
I've seen that before.
I've seen it a lot. Yeah, it depends on where you are. Now, if you're going to the athletic club, you ain't got to worry about
that.
I'm
50 years old. I've never seen it once. No.
But if you go to a couple pickup games, depending on where you are, it really is. They don't sit down until they're done.
Yeah, I've seen people refuse to get off the court. Yeah.
If you lose, your ass is down.
It almost gets to the point where they'll be like, okay, you want to fight?
Nah, that's crazy.
I'm going to do this.
Okay, well, first of all, let me just say.
I'm about to get out the athletic club.
That's not okay. in any walk of life. I don't care where you're playing. That's not all right. If there's people waiting, they get to play next, and if they get smoked, that's fine. You'll be right back in. It'll be quick. Prove your point. Sit down. You lost. I used to play under the bridge at Canis Park and never had a problem with having next.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
He's probably a good hooper then.
I think he was waiting to play. But yeah, you're right. Maybe so. I work 11 hours a day. I have 3 weeks of vacation. But I only get paid 8 hours a day for it. So I lose 15 hours of overtime. Well, you can't count missing out on overtime pay for vacation. Stop it. We got a big warehouse in North Little Rock. There's two bullet holes in the roof. I found bullets lodged an inch deep into lumber we've got stacked outside. They come down pretty hard, apparently. Thank you, Randall. Don't shoot your guns at night for 4th of July, please. Has Eli looked up Little Eli on Night at the Apollo, and does he still keep up with one of my favorite professors at OBU, Dr. Thunder Lizard?
Thunder Lizard.
Oh, he missed the end.
His name is Thunder Lizard?
I'm assuming
his name's awesome. Actually Dr. Wink, Dr. Johnny Wink.
Johnny
who just
Wink?
Finished up his 50th year teaching at Ouachita.
Is this the guy that can recite Shakespeare?
This is the guy. Same guy. Dr. Thunder Lizard. He has a nickname for everybody, and he does a bracket challenge for March Madness. And you call him, and like you put your bracket in over the phone. And then he puts your nickname. So his nickname for me is Straw Boss, and he has a ton of nicknames for everybody. So you get like this list of like 100 that say, you know, like Straw Boss and the Purloin Lassie. And he's the coolest dude, okay. Johnny Wink.
Nick says, I saw you at Gus's Saturday, but I didn't want to be that guy. What guy? Come over and say, hey, I like the show. I wish you would be that guy. I like to hear it.
It's all you. You're at Gus's.
We smashed some chicken.
Smashed it.
Max
huh?
and I rolled over there.
Yeah.
Crushed. I decided I got the order there.
What is it?
I used to do like platters, but I'm all a cart guy now. So like I just got one wing. One thigh and one breast. A couple of jalapenos and I was set. Got some greens.
Okay.
Money. Any recommendation on where to get adult swimming lessons in the 501? I guess anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere they
probably,
do swimming lessons.
You can
lessons.
Probably go to any rec.
Athletic club, I'm sure.
Athletic
doesn't.
Club, they
sure.
have them there. Yeah.
This says, Uruguay is great. It's not more embarrassing than Panama. They are just better. Yes, we suck. I know, but I don't want the United States to be worse than either one of those countries, and I realize that they're good. Panama loss was a disgrace. Coach has to go. Absolutely.
It is funny because like Croatia is really, really good at soccer, and their population is New Mexico, essentially.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I made this argument the other day. Panama has 4 million people. Mm-hmm. We have 360 million people in the United States. I don't care if it's the 74th most important sport in the United States. We still have way more people, and we should be better at soccer.
Justin's furious about that
I'm
loss.
Angry.
I bet you get this right. How many soccer games do you think he's watched this year?
One.
I would say.
No, I've watched one.
He didn't watch the losing.
No, he didn't watch that one.
This guy. If you ask one more time about the Packer jersey, I'm sorry. I'm gonna block you.
Is it the same guy?
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
He said game worn.
Yeah, he wants a Packer.
I can't pull that off.
I'm like, dude, stop. Yeah, I don't care.
That's tough.
11:41. We're gonna take a break just a couple minutes early here, and then we're gonna come back and do the Shannon Sharp story. And I think we can have some fun discussion about it.
Ooh.
I want you to weigh in, listeners. 661-1037. Come on. D3 Auto Sales text line. Live fan feedback from our friends at True Service Community Federal Credit Union. I need some feedback. And maybe you gentlemen have something to offer as well. Mm. You may not be willing to since you're both married, but I'm just saying there's stories out there.
Are you putting this
in
on
the
me?
Big city. I'm going to offer one. I got a story.
I got to hear it first.
I haven't had it quite as bad as Shannon Sharp did.
I got to hear it.
It was wild.
Okay.
It didn't turn out to be that wild, but yeah. I was like, okay.
All right.
I kind of related for a second, and then I was like, wow, the second version of his story, there's so many layers to it. It's like an onion or an ogre.
Did you watch this or listen?
I watched it.
Was Cam's reaction like?
Yeah, Cam was, dude, he was like, wow. By the way, I just can't get over Cam's outfits, too. It's very off-putting. He also apparently had to make an apology to Megan Thee Stallion.
I don't know.
How he, like, offended her in some way.
Mm. At least he said he's sorry.
He does a good job on his podcast, I got to say.
It is entertaining.
It's way more compelling than him on ESPN or
agreed.
FS1 or wherever he was with Skip. I keep forgetting things because I'm an idiot. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we get behind, and poor Eli Craner is stuck with, like, 4 minutes of fun.
Now you see how it works,
so
Eli,
I apologize.
On the other side.
I have bad ADD, and nobody says, hey, dummy, don't forget about such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, we were going to listen to Shannon Sharp, and this story is amazing. I'm teasing the hell out. It better be good,
yeah,
right?
You are.
You're not going to get to the last hour, probably. right now, we got on the Brandon Moving and Storage Hotline, Kerry Maddox standing by, the pro over at Mom El Country Club, where I've been spending a lot of my free time lately trying to tune up the game. I think the last four rounds I've shot within one stroke of each other. All not good. But consistently not good, Kerry, so that's good. I got that going for me. Anyway, the course looks spectacular, and they're gearing up for the Maumelle Classic, which is right around the corner. I call it the premier amateur event in the state of Arkansas, and when you look at the list of former winners, Kerry, I would think that's an easy sell. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to talking about the classic, upcoming classic.
Yes, this thing has been won by the likes of Ken Duke. John Daly, I believe, has won it. And Trey Schaap of our staff has won this event, too. So there are a wide swath of golfers over the years, Kerry, safe to say.
Yes, we've had some great champions, as you mentioned, along with Chris Jenkins, Patrick Sullivan, Ken Moore, Stan Lee went on to win a national senior amateur, USGA amateur. Wynn Norwood's won it. So just the who's who of golfers in Arkansas and around the area.
So let's talk about this year's event. Give me dates, details, and folks who may want to be involved. Is that still an option for them?
Yes, it is. The deadline is not until July 14th. We try to get around 140, 150 golfers. The event is July 19th through 2021. 3-day event. We cut it after the second day. But the deadline is July 14th. Still time to get in. Entries available on our website, or you can contact the golf shop. But still would love to have some more golfers.
So what's special about this event? What is unique about the Maumelle Classic?
Well, I think the golf course, the community around here, our club, members, a lot of the same folks back, it's kind of a reunion of guys that have been playing around the state and around the golf in our region for so long. It's been around since 1973. Bill Jett started it back then, and it's just become one of the guys. I know the local guys all mark it on the calendar, and then we send it out to the surrounding states, to the college coaches to try to get as many college golfers in our open division. So it's just turned out to one of the premier events. I think everybody looks forward to it each year.
So it's been won 3 times by a couple guys, and nobody's won it 4 times. Is that right?
Well, 2 times. The most is 2. Nobody's won it 3. So
okay.
Connor Adams, I can't remember. I think there's 2-3 people that have won back-to-back. Connor, who's won 22 and 23, so he has a chance, and he's registered to come back and play. He loves the event. He's from the Dallas area, and he keeps bringing more golfers in from the college ranks each year. He's been one of our best promoters of the event.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to having him back. He's a great champion, and trying to go for the three-peat.
Gotcha. Did Ken ever win it, or did he play in it?
Ken played, but he never won it. He turned pro pretty quickly.
Right. But he used to work there, right? He used to work with y'all?
Yes. Yep. Matter of fact, the couple summers I worked here going to college, he finished his college and went on to the tour, and then I got to move up in the golf shop back in the mid-90s. So I owe a little credit to Ken for
getting
good enough to get on the tour so I can move into the shop.
That's funny. How many years have you been there now?
14.
Man, it's wild.
14 years. I'm looking at the deal. We've had nobody. They haven't won 3 times. Doug Farr and Danny Green won it 3 times each. I don't think they were in the back-to-back time.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at was total wins. I was curious about total times winning it over the years.
Yeah, Doug Farr, Danny Green, 3 times each. We've had one. Patrick Sullivan won it twice.
Okay.
Local guy. Matt Mabry won it twice. Barry Hamilton, Ed Harris, Tim Jackson, Stafford Gray, Ron Richard. Those all won it twice.
Okay.
And Connor, of course. So he'll only be the third person to have won 3. He doesn't.
What's your age range that you typically – because I know there are different divisions, but, I mean, what's the – give me kind of an idea. Who are your oldest players and who are the youngest guys that play in this thing?
Yeah, we have the Masters division, which is 70 and up. It's a smaller division. The Open is the biggest where we'll have 70, 80 golfers. Then it goes to a mid-amateur 35 and up, senior division 50 and up, super senior – which will be probably the second biggest division, 60 and up. The mid-amateur, unfortunately, all those guys are working and have kids and stuff. It hasn't been as big as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors got a good number, but our Open is the largest.
I want to ask you about the world of golf, and Scheffler obviously is doing some incredible things. I was looking at it. There's only two guys that have won $10 million or more, and I think second place on the PGA Tour is $12 million, and Scotty's won $27 million this year on the PGA Tour, which is so insane how much further ahead of everybody he is, not to mention the number of victories and everything else he's done. He's going to be part of the Olympic team. No DeChambeau this year. I don't know if there's a way to get around it. Obviously, they couldn't find it or didn't look for it, but I certainly would have liked to have seen Bryson in the red, white, and blue competing in Paris. What do you think about the team that they put together?
I think it's a good team. I was not the biggest Bryson fan. I've grown to like him a little bit more.
Yep.
Even though he moved to live, I think what a person I'd be if he'd have stayed on the tour, but the PGA Tour. But I don't know if it was on your show or somewhere I listened to where I wish they could come up with a little better format than that a team type of format for the Ryder Cup instead of individual. I mean, it'd still be exciting golf, but it'd be fun to have a little team. You know. When they're playing, obviously, I know we have four guys representing our USA on the team and all, but the format-wise.
Talking to Kerry Maddox again about the Maumelle Classic and other things going on in the world of golf, I wanted to ask you about another event. We mentioned John Daly and Ken Duke, and you guys have a club event that you split into two teams. I think it's kind of a cool thing. I'm not real clear on the format, but I agreed to join you guys for it. But there's a team Duke and a team Daly. What's the format on this thing? What's the situation?
Yeah. Yeah, so we started this, our 50th anniversary of the club. We were founded in 69, so years ago we had our 50th anniversary and we had a big intra club where we took anybody that signed up. I think we had, you know, 90, 100 the first year. We just took them, split them into two teams. At that time we had Green and White. The next year we came up with Palmer and Nicholas. And then, so this year, it finally hit us, why don't we use Daly and Duke? You know, Duke worked here. Has a lot of history here. Daly won the Classic, so it just kind of made sense. So we kind of named our two teams Daly and Duke. And so we'll have 100 golfers or more signed up, and we'll have two-day, kind of like a Ryder Cup. The first day it'll be a best ball. We pair everybody up kind of by like handicaps and to have a fun event, make it fair. And then the second day will be a singles match. So there'll be a lot of trash talking leading up to the event for the two teams. So it's really a fun weekend, and it's really grown to one that everybody, you know, we have a lot of events here at our club, and there's some where I get calls or emails early in the year, when is this day? When is the four ball? When is the Oktoberfest dates, you know? And this is becoming one of those, when is intra club, because they want to make sure they sign up, get that weekend where they're in town.
Oktoberfest is a golf event, or we're just drinking beer and dancing to German music?
Well, there's always beer drinking, but Oktoberfest, we used to have two events. We used to have a big Oktoberfest weekend party, concert deal, or band or whatever, and we had a member guest. Well, we just kind of put them into one event.
Well, but, I'll make sure to get my
just kind of one weekend.
I'll get my lederhose into the dry cleaner before then, make sure I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I don't obviously don't play in it, but to listen to the stories, it's a night. You get in flights, play 9-hole matches. It's a blast. It's
Sounds
a fun,
fun.
Weekend.
You guys got some good things going on over there. I know there's a kind of a nice youth movement that's happening over there, and you got the old heads that are sticking around, have been there a long time and established the club, but it seems like you guys are in a good place, and I don't know that the course has ever looked better, so I want to tip my cap to your superintendent, but I think some exciting times for you guys right now.
It really is. I mean, Josh Rainey, he came on board last summer, Catherine calling up and handling banquets and such, and you know Wayne Reed's been here forever, so we have a really good team. The course is in fabulous shape, best I've seen it in a long time. We've had some good weather and some timely rain, so it's in really good shape. Looking forward to the Classic for sure this year.
Okay, last thing, how do people sign up again if they want to squeeze in?
They can go on our website, maumellecc.com. They can email me, Carrie, Cary, at maumellecc.com, or just call the golf shop. And we'll make sure we get them the info, and we'd love to have them playing.
All right, very good. Kerry, thank you for the time, man. Good talking to you, and good luck with the Classic, and I'm sure I'll see you between now and then.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Kerry Maddox. We've got Eli Craner here just for a couple more minutes. We are going to hear from Shannon Sharpe next hour. I know you're looking forward to it. Pat Bradley's going to join us up there. Got to get Pat's thoughts on the Karen Reed trial. We've been talking to Pat about that a little bit.
Man,
I don't know if you guys have been following that.
He's in it.
Did you see what happened yesterday?
No, what happened?
Mistrial.
Ooh.
How frustrating.
Did he say that?
Huh?
Did he call that?
I don't know if he did.
I'm going to ask him.
It's not surprising, though. What a mess. Have you seen the story at all?
No.
It's a woman out in Boston, and she was dating a cop, and they go to a couple bars, and then they go to an after party at another cop's house. She's alleged to have backed her car up like 60 feet into the guy and killed him, but there's also allegations that he went into the party and was beaten up and killed and then thrown out in the yard, and they pinned it on her, and there's a cover-up. So it was a messy, messy deal.
Boston.
The lead investigator talked horrifically about this woman. It is so wild. Yes, so yeah, Boston.
So Boston.
Maybe there's a novel
is
in there.
Crime? Yeah, somebody up there is paying attention.
But anyway, so they came back with a mistrial yesterday, so we talked about that. Anyway, if you want to hang out with Eli tonight, maybe get a signed copy of the book is Broiler. It comes out today. Go to Wordsworth tonight up in the Heights, and you get to see Graham Gordy for no extra charge.
Yeah, 6:30. You want me to talk about Johnny Cash? We got Johnny Cash second?
We did all this, and we didn't even play the guitar. How long you got?
Yeah.
Can you stick around?
Yeah.
Can play your guitar for Pat?
Yeah.
What's the Johnny Cash connection to the book?
You want me to tell you now?
I'm telling you. I am like line of sight guy. If I was seeing your guitar, I would have probably asked you about it before now.
Yeah. So the epigraph is, I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. And so that's from Ring of Fire. And Johnny Cash, those lyrics are used throughout the book. And I told you I wrote this book back before I was ever getting published. So I had no idea how big of a pain it was going to be to get real music lyrics into a novel. So we did. We finally got. And you know, June Carter Cash actually wrote that song. And so the Carter Cash estate, it was about a 6-month ordeal. But they're in there. The Ring of Fire is in there.